Hi, this is Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and authors. I'm David Wilk, your host, and today I'm interviewing the author William Gladstone, whose new novel, The Twelve, has just come out from Perseus Books. William, how are you?
I'm doing great, David. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. And let's assume that most people have not heard about this book. It's a novel that seems to be based on personal experiences that you've had, but it really is a fiction, I take it, not a first-person narrative.
No, it's definitely a fictional book, particularly since the climax of the book occurs in 2012, and not having experienced 2012 yet, it would be a bit far-fetched to call it nonfiction. However, at the same time, everything up until the year 2009 that occurs in the book is based on actual facts. And I've done a lot of research on the Mayan beliefs as well as those of many other world religions. And as clearly as one can project what is going to happen in 2012, I think I've captured, according to many Mayan scholars and elders and other experts, what 2012 really is all about. And the novel itself is just an adventure story that brings us to that conclusion.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, let's start at the beginning. Kind of, why did you write this story? I mean, you know, every author obviously has a story to tell, and there's, you know, an internal reason for doing it. And I guess as background for listeners, this is a novel that starts when the protagonist is a young man, a young boy.
Well, it actually starts at the very birth of the protagonist in 1949, and then it quickly catches up to his adolescence when he has an extraordinary near-death experience at the age of 15. And during this near-death experience, he's given 12 names. And what really started me off writing this book was about 30 years ago, I met another woman who had a very similar experience in which she also had a near-death experience and was given 12 names. So it was really way back in 1979 that I wrote the first treatment for what would later become the novel, The Twelve.
And so as the story unfolds, the protagonist, whose name is Max, and we assume loosely based on your experiences,
mm-hmm.
Goes essentially lives his life, but all of these events unfold.
Exactly, and what's quite remarkable, which I didn't know at the time I was writing it, I have to be honest, when I first did the first draft of the novel, I even considered using a different main character. But I, for a lot of reasons, decided to, I knew more about my own particular experiences, and after I wrote the novel and I checked some information about the nature of the 12, about the nature of 2012, I realized that many events in my actual life, which I used throughout the novel, were essential for the novel to hold together as a spiritual document and not just as a literary narrative. And that's what is perhaps going to be most fascinating to readers. I've already had dozens of people who have read the book that have told me that it has moved them personally in terms of their own search for the special meaning that each and every human being has to be on this planet. The book really takes a point of view that is very optimistic and very hopeful, in which the conclusions in terms of the themes, not giving away the plot here, is that every single moment of life is magical and full of meaning. But that's not something that I say directly. It's something that you experience through the reading of the book.
Right. I mean, you're not telling people. You're not like a guru telling people how.
Not at all.
Live.
No.
It is entertaining. I mean, the novel is entertaining. It's an adventure story. If you want to, you can read it purely as adventure, and see it as just a story.
Well, that's exactly right, David. I mean, what's happened with The Twelve, I've actually had people call me and tell me that they had to read it twice. Once they read it for the pure fun, it's just a fun story. I mean, it's really a page-turner. I have to say, even myself, even though I wrote it, when I reread it, it was like I couldn't wait to see exactly how it was going to unfold again. But then there is, if you want to go deeper, you can, but you don't need to enjoy the novel. There are hidden truths that I did not know myself when I was writing the book that I discovered and that other readers are discovering as they read the novel, The Twelve. But the first time through, I really suggest just get into the story and just enjoy the story.
Well, you mentioned the Mayans. I think it's probably, there are a lot of people who may not be familiar with what you're talking about, the Mayan calendar.
Well, the Mayan calendar is prophesized to, well, it's not prophesized. The Mayan calendar ends on December 21st, 2012. No questions about it. This much is factual. It doesn't matter what you believe. The scholars who have looked at it, the Mayans themselves, they have a calendar that actually covers 26,000 years, and it ends precisely on December 21st, 2012.
Right, but they don't mean necessarily that the world ends.
No, the calendar ends.
Right,
the calendar.
It's
the way, you know, our calendar, you know, ticked over from the year, you know, 2000 to 2001, 1,000 years of our calendar end. But in the Mayan case, it's more interesting because they counted in a different way. They actually had many calendars, but what is referred to as the long count calendar is a 26,000-year calendar, and it happens to end on December 21st, 2012. What is interesting is you have many other traditions, probably the best known one being the Hindus, where they also have eras of thousands and thousands of years, and the Kali Yuga is also ending in approximately this time, not exactly on December 21st, 2012. The December 21st, 2012 ending, as far as I have been able to determine, is unique to the Mayan in terms of that specific day. But even the interpretations of the Mayan in terms of the meaning of the end of the calendar is different than the literal day that the calendar ends. Many people are forecasting that it's somehow related to a transformation in consciousness. Of course, you have many different views, and the most popular one right now, and the one behind the film 2012 and a lot of other books, is the doomsday, and it's going to be the end of the world and apocalypse and fires and brimstone. And I'm saying absolutely not. I have it on good authority. That's not what's going to happen on December 21st, 2012.
Right, and without giving away the story, which I think is important, you don't want to ruin it for people. But this is part of the story. That's, I think, what we want to say.
Well, absolutely, and you know, no one is all knowing, and nothing is you know 100% certain. I you know I'm 99.999% certain. But of course, we are living in precarious times. I think this is why, you know, the doomsayers are getting so much attention. I mean, there's certainly the possibility that some very terrible things can happen to the planet and to human beings in this particular time frame, and some of them could happen even on December 21st, 2012. But what I'm saying in the book is that fear and that concern, which I think is kind of a wake-up call. I have a good friend, Barbara Marx Hubbard, who talks about emergencies can create emergence and emergence of new ideas, emergence of new consciousness. That's really what I think 2012 is all about. However, in the book itself, the characters in the book have, some of them are atheists, some of them are Hindus, some of them are Muslims. They don't necessarily share this worldview, and they're very concerned what is going to happen on December 21st, 2012, and I think that adds some of the excitement and the tension to the novel itself.
What I wanted to ask you about was the numerological meaning of the 12, or what the historical or the history of the number 12. It comes up, obviously, the 12 lost tribes.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many places in our cultural history where 12 is a meaningful number. How did that come to you as part of the story?
Well, this is what's one of the more fascinating aspects of the 12. The idea of the 12 came from the reality that there really were 12 names in both of the near-death experiences that were the real inspiration for me to write the novel. It was only after I wrote the novel, The 12, that I started investigating how 12 seems to be the structural root number of almost every major religion and every major culture. You can go all the way back to Atlantis. There's a song by Donovan, The New Atlantis, that talks about the 12 adepts. From Atlantis, people believed that they then colonized the culture of Egypt, and you have 12 at the root of the Egyptian culture. Of course, we know about the 12 gods of Olympus in the Greek culture and the Roman culture, of course. We have the 12 signs of the zodiac. We end up, though, having 12 almost everywhere we look. If you go to England, you'll have the 12 jurors, which also we have in the United States. You'll have the 12 knights of the round table. If you go to India, the sacred number of the Hindus is 108, which of course is 9 times 12. There's 144 stones in the Temple of New Jerusalem, 12 times 12. There's 12 princes of Xalba, which is the Mayan belief. So you start going and you find 12 almost everywhere. So I did a little more research, and from a mathematical point of view, traced it all the way back to Pythagoras. And Pythagoras has written, and for those who don't know, Pythagoras was the greatest of the ancient Greek mathematicians, that the dodecahedron, or the 12-sided cube, is actually the structural image of the universe itself. At least that was his belief. And then more recently, I've been doing more research and found an article by a Dr. White, which indicates that our very DNA must use a language of 12 to communicate and to replicate. So it does seem that 12 is a very special number, but I did not know that at the time I started writing the 12.
It seems in a lot of ways this story was like a revealed story, that it was sort of, you know, you hear a lot of stories that are told that are kind of dictated by, and I don't want to say by spirits, but that, you know, that come from the subconscious, or they come from a place in yourself as a writer that you really can't explain.
Absolutely agree with that. Though in this case, what's really interesting, it wasn't so much in the writing, but in the living of a life, because the novel does trace, you know, specific events. So it was almost, I would say that, you know, it wasn't that the writing was channeled, but you might even say my life was channeled so that I could be the spokesperson for this novel. Since writing the novel, and I've already, and I'm sure it's going to increase, I've had two different people who do believe in channeling and talk to spirits, both of whom have a council of 12 that they communicate with. So there is something very special going on with this 12, and I would say that there is something magical about the novel, The 12. I still have yet to understand, while I was in the middle of writing the novel, The 12, when I introduced the very first character, the computer itself took over and provided two paragraphs of names and numbers, which I didn't end up including in the novel and which I've yet to decipher. But there's certainly something mystical and magical about the creation of the novel, The 12.
Well, so here's a question for you. What do you believe is going to happen? I don't mean in terms of the novel itself, but you as a person in the world, what do you believe is the reason why this novel came to you, why your life has been the way it is? What do you think that it means about the future?
Well, I think very much along the lines of Barbara Marks Hubbard, who for 40 years, she's a visionary, and she's been writing about the birth of the universal human and the transformation of consciousness. Also, Dr. Irvin Laszlo, the founder of the Club of Budapest, who's been writing about the crisis of humanity at this particular moment in time. Completely unrelated to the Mayan, from a scientific perspective, we are at a tipping point. And about 10 years ago, I was talking with Irvin Laszlo, and he said, well, we've got about 10 years to go, or 8 years to go, something like that. And I said, that's interesting. That kind of coincides with the 2012 prophecies, which he knew nothing about at the time. He says, 2012, yeah, that's about it. If we don't change certain systems and certain activities of human beings, it may be too late to reverse some of the ecological damage that's being done and the human systems that are creating chaos rather than harmony on this planet. I actually believe that the 12 has come forth at this time as a novel that can capture the imagination of all people. You don't have to be a scientist. You don't have to be into Maya beliefs. You don't have to be into New Age beliefs. You can just be a normal person living a life, because the novel does not take sides. The novel does present the idea that it's capable, that human beings are capable of determining their own future. And that's really what I believe. But it is time to wake up. We cannot just mindlessly go along as we've been going along for the last 40 or 50 years and expect that the world's going to take care of itself. That's not going to happen. And it's vital that people become more aware and they do raise their consciousness. It's more important that awareness is raised than any specific biological, chemical, or mechanical breakthrough. Those breakthroughs, which we need in terms of energy-free and pollution-free and better distribution of food and better politics, can't happen until we have a change in the consciousness of human beings as a whole. And of course, it's going to start with some, not with all. I'm hopeful that the 12 will reach millions of people and that it will start dialogue about some of these issues.
Well, that's a pretty good message, and I think that's really the core belief that a lot of people have, that it is a change in awareness and a change in consciousness that would enable people to change some of the, say, material things about the way, you know, the change in the way that we live in the world materially, both, you know, with the way we live on the planet, the way that we interact with nature, the way we interact with each other. That's about a material, you know, that's the material plane, if you will. The consciousness has to come first.
I totally agree with you. And one of the things, I don't want to get too heavy in the novel, and I don't. I actually present a very sophisticated philosophical concept very early in the novel, the concept that A is and is not A. And as it's presented in the novel, you don't need to understand this concept. And in fact, when it's presented, the professors of Max, who writes this paper, you know, thinks he's a little bit insane. The reality, though, is if you really do penetrate and want to get into, you know, the idea of what is consciousness, what is reality, what is life, what is death, what can we change, what can't we change, that's actually a very, very powerful catalyst for starting that discussion. And all I can say to the listeners listening to this phone call or this iPod is that you have within your grasp the ability to make a huge difference. Every single human being matters. It is very much a collective enterprise. We've been led to believe and programmed to believe that things happen and that the material plane is the only plane that matters. The novel does not say the material plane does not matter, but it presents a simultaneous reality that coexists with the purely material, which interacts with the material and which can have a major impact on the material. And this is really what the fundamental message is. We have to get away from this idea that more is always better, that material is the only thing that matters. I think every human being who has lived a full life knows that emotions, that joy comes from more than just owning things or manipulating things. It has to do with human relationships. It has to do with relationships between human beings and animals, between human beings and nature, and that there's much more to life than just this mindless consumption after consumption, and then, you know, whoever dives with the most toys wins. That's actually not true.
Well, I think you're right, and I certainly hope that your message will reach as many people as possible. Thanks for talking to me. This is David Wilk for Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and authors. I've been talking to William Gladstone, the author of the new novel, The 12, which is on sale now. Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you very much, David. Enjoy the novel, everyone out there. I'm sure you will.